Like when you came into 2020, were you like the rest of us going like 2020? This is a sign. It's like fucking 2020 vision. This is going to be the fucking year for Benny Blanco.
It's just done. It's just done. You know, it did change a lot of stuff for me though. Like I definitely look at life a lot differently and like prioritize things. Like haven't you like weeded out all the shitty people in your life because it's like I don't have time. Like it's not worth it. And you know, just spending more. I'm sure you're spending way more time with the family and just like, you know, cooking, doing things you thought you never do, and just trying to, you know, just taking every day at a time. I you know, it's not going to be back to normal for a long time.
No, it is not. Definitely not.
And like, you know, out here, we're just trying, you know, we're fortunate. We're just trying to help everyone in need and give back as much as we can, you know. The movements have been super crazy out here. Like all you know, it's powerful. You know, I went to, I stay inside, but I did go to a bunch of protests though when it was happening. Like it's really powerful stuff over here.
Yeah, the worldwide, man.
Yeah,
I think everyone I'm talking to at the minute that this comes up obviously, you know, because it was like because all eyes are so, you know, on the media. For information, and then you know, George Floyd, that happens, you know, he gets lynched like that, and yeah, I mean it's been interesting to see. Like it feels like it's been more than just an awakening to that movement, though. It feels like a lot of people are going, hang on, it's everywhere you fucking look, the world's fucking crazy.
Yeah, and it's been like that for a while, and it's, you know, it's hard for me to realize that there can even be people like that in the world. Like, you know, I don't know. It's just such a, that someone could hate someone just because of, you know, the color of their skin, their sexual orientation, whatever it might be.
Whatever, that's the thing. Whatever. I know.
It's weird. It's weird to me. We have voices to be heard. We have ears that need to listen. We need to be educated. We need to help as much as we can. And we need to, in America, we need to get this fucking guy out of office. So that's the end of my little speech. Now we can get to the fun stuff.
Thank fuck for music and food. If the world was ending by whatever, that big thing in Yellowstone actually goes off and takes us all out like the dinosaurs, but we know what's going to happen, what do you sit down to? What kind of meal?
I feel like I'm definitely having sushi. Like there's sushi's happening. And like, I definitely need like a few tacos on the side. I mean, and like, I eat so much food. If I can have every, like a platter where I can just take a bite of everything, like I need a good curry. Like definitely need like the best curry. Fuck, but I need French fries. I need pizza. I need bagels. I need everything. How do you know? What's yours? What's your thing?
But you know what? Okay. Well, you know what? Mine changes all the time. Instead of having like a starter, instead of having that like a classic starter, I would genuinely sit down to a couple of rounds of plain bread, toasted. Like it's a white bread that you get back home in Ireland, and it's not pumpernickel in taste in any way, but it's sort of quite dense like that.
Yeah.
It's a white bread, really sugary and delicious. But you just getting that night, slightly not too burnt, but just on the edge of burnt. Tons of butter and a cup of tea. I would have about three rounds of that toast, three slices of that.
That's it.
Just because I would take my time with it, and I would probably listen to something. What would I listen to when I was doing that? I would listen to probably something that reminds me of a dad. Hot Knuckles' Name with Matthew. You ever heard that song? You know that? Or so Matthew, as I call it, by John Denver. Yeah. Okay. That would be like a nostalgic starter. Because listen, if I'm going to go, I'm going to want something that kind of reminds me of, you know, if I had tea and toast and listened to that, I would be surrounded by family, and I, you know what I mean.
I need a mixtape because I want it to be like a DJ set. I want to go like up and down. I want to like, you know, because I want to dance. You know, you need, you know, I want to listen to first. I want to listen to like, I think when it's first happening, I want it to be like real. Well, if you're dying, it's the last thing. Like, do you want to end like dancing or do you want to end like peaceful? Like just be like, okay, take me away. Like, I feel like I want to start peaceful. Like, I'm going to listen to, like, Brian Eno or something just to, like, kick me off. Like, something really peaceful, really, like relaxing. Maybe some, like, Tim Buckley or something. Like, something really relaxing. Like,
do you know that? Do you listen to that Ambient Music for Airports?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's course. That one. That one's on a constant playlist for me.
I know. Something relaxing. Then, like, I would go into, like, if I'm going hyped, like, I want to listen to, like, the whole, like, Philly soul era. I want to listen to, like, Eddie Kendricks. I want to listen to Temptations. Then I want to listen to Marvin Gaye. Then I want to, like, I want to dance. I want to have, like, I want to go into the disco era. I want to listen to, like, Chic. I want to listen. And then I definitely want to go into, like, some of, like, the old, like, Dr. Dre when he was making, like, the mixes where he was, like, mixing, like, he was mixing like George Clinton with like whatever like hip hop stuff was out at the time. Then like I wanna relax. I'm definitely listening to the Beatles at some point. Prince is on for at least an hour and a half. Like,
jeez, you've got it licked. I've always been picking like three songs usually. I think I picked one album last week, but this is
really.
I want to die with you, Benny.
What was your one album last week?
Billy Connolly Bites Your Bum. It's a comedy. It's Billy Connolly just talking.
Really? Do you have certain milestones, like just songs you listen to with people, like your kids, your mom? Like, do you have those in your head, like right there? Like, I know the song. Like, thinking about my mom, like there's like a bunch of songs we always used to listen to, like we would listen to together, like, and they stick in your head so much. So like, anytime I hear like, Bonnie Raitt, like, if I can make you love me, like that one we always listen to. Me and my mom always listen to Sexy Motherfucker by Prince, like, yeah, back in the day. And like, my mom was always listening to like, to like, you know, the whole Controversy album. Like, I'm trying to think. And then like,
so is that all, where it came from, Benny? Like, at an early age, was that your mom, was she like
my mom
was,
and my
like,
dad
feeding you all this?
They were really into fucking music. Like, it's like we listened like as a kid, it was like, we didn't listen. It wasn't like the radio like that. Like, when you got in the car, we were listening to like good shit. Like, it was like Beatles early on, Stones early on, like, you know, Van Morrison early on, like all the Philly soul, like all the Motown shit, all like, all, you know, my mom was really into like singer songwriters too. So it's like tons of Joni Mitchell, tons of like, you know, my parents are older. So my parents are from the, you know, it's from the 60s. So it's like, you know, and my dad way earlier, you know, my dad was born in 1945. So it's like that, like, yeah. So they were like, they, you know, everything, you know, sometimes I'd get into like my dad's car and it would be like, one day it'd be like Yo-Yo Ma, the next day it would be like Gregorian chants. And then he'd be playing like some Afrobeat. Like, it's just like, my parents loved music and they always had like, you know, my mom, there was always a party. There was always playing music was always on at the house. It was very like, we weren't like a family where there, everyone was listening to music. My brother, like, everyone was so into music growing up. Was your my family was very into listening to music, but no one did music in my whole family. What about you?
Yeah, music was a big thing in our house too. But we listened and played. My dad played. He played mostly, actually. The other boys, I think, played in various, you know, bands, school bands or whatever, but never really took to. But dad played all the time. My granny sang
so cool.
Yeah, anytime there was gatherings, it'd be a lot, you know, be a lot of singing around the house, and I'd get up and do my bit as well, you know.
We never had that.
Yeah, but my eldest brother, he was an avid record collector coming up, and he, you know, so he had anything that was in the charts or and some stuff outside, but just like a real, just whatever was happening at the time, he had that. And then the next brother to him, Colin, he was into like the Jam and the Who, and also had these old eight tracks of like trucker music and stuff, country music and western music, and then the next brother to him, Paul, he was into punk and the Damned, you know, the Sex Pistols, and so, but it all sounded like music to me, you know, the whole mash of it. It did to you too. Like, when do you think you kind of, you know, heard all this kind of musical influence and thought, hang on, I can fuse this shit. I can do this.
I remember I was, so when I was growing up, tapes were like a big thing, like singles. Yeah. Like, so when I was about 4 or 5, my brother was very into music, and there was like a tape store down, you know, cause there wasn't CDs yet. So there was like a tape store where you could go down and you could buy singles, and I'd go with, cause he loved music. He was so into it. He was really, at that point he was into like really like grunge and rap. Like those were his two things in the early 90s. So I would go with him, and we would go, and I would sit there and I'd hold all the tapes, and they had a thing where you could test the tape. Like, you put your headphones on and you test it, and I loved it. And I remember I always wanted to go. Like, every day I was like, can we go? Can we go? And then I got to the point, you know, where I, you know, probably when I was like, you know how no matter what age, no matter who you are in the world, you always have, somehow, if you walk into a house, there's some sort of toy keyboard. Like, someone has some sort of, you have either that Casio one. I don't know how you get it. Everyone has one of those, like some shitty little thing.
Bon Tempe,
Yeah, I had this really small little keyboard. It was teeny. And it was like, I think it was like a calculator too. I don't even know. But I had it, and I was obsessed with it. And then like my parents got me this other one at like a garage sale. And I had finally, when I was like 8 or something, I got like this keyboard that had like, it was like a terrible Yamaha, probably $50, $100, but it had like a small sequencer on it. And I started like sequencing, and I was like, by the time I was like 8, I was like really into it. And then I won this contest when I was like 9 to record a song like in a studio. And like, I got to do that.
When you were 9?
Yeah. And then my mom got me lessons. I was really into music, but I would switch instruments every week. Like every week I'd be like, I want to play guitar. Then I'd be like, no, I want to play bass. No, I want to play drums. And like my guitar teacher, he was so cool. And he had like a DAT machine. And we would, he would record me to DAT, like, and just like, he would, like, rather than, we were learning songs, but I like didn't want to learn them. I just wanted to make my own songs up. And like, my family didn't understand it, because they were like, well, why can't you play like this song that you were supposed to learn? And I'd be like, I want to make my own song. And like, you know, this was, I was like really into like Rage Against the Machine. So I would like, I like found like, I got like a guitar amp from like my friends. So everything was like bad hand-me-downs, and I would like, I had like a karaoke mic, and I like shoved it in, and I would like rap over and put like the distortion on like the bass amp. And I think the lack of equipment made me much more creative, like, because I didn't, you know, we didn't have money like that to get all the fancy stuff. So I had like a boom box, and I had 2 boom boxes, and I would like record one, and then like record that into the other one, then record it back, and like it was kind of like a 4-track, because like I would just keep recording back and forth between the two. I had like this little Sony, like my dad had like one of those things that you take to the beach, like the little Sony Walkman things. Like it was like they had a speaker on it. And then my brother, he had a boombox. He bought a boombox that you could record. Like, so I started making mixtapes, and I don't know. I just like got really into it when I was early, like 7, 8. Like, I was so into it all my life.
I wonder where that came from.
I don't know.
Like what? Like, because, you know, listen, we all had, like, loads of kids had those, had access to boomboxes that recorded. Loads of us did, and loads of us recorded all kinds of farts and burps and, you know, and voices and whatever. But not everyone kind of went, like, what? Isn't it wild, like, what these choices that you make as a kid that just transform your life dramatically?
I didn't even know what I was doing was like multi-tracking. I didn't know, because I was like, how do they get so many sounds? I didn't understand it. Also, and I had no one, this was before, like, I remember a big turning point for me was when I discovered, like I really got into, like, liner notes, like credits. Like, and I figured out, like, oh my God, there's songwriters and there's this person played the drums. This person played, like, cause when you're a kid, you think the artist does every single thing. I used to think the artist was at the radio station performing. I didn't understand. So when I figured that out, and then I would play, like, games where I would, like, try to guess, like, who the producer was, like, based on their sound and, like, who this was. And I would, like, got really into it. And then, like, once I got into, like, rap music, like, it was like, I would study, you know, I figured out sampling and I would, like, listen to all the originals. And then I started buying vinyls and, like, getting really into, like, not only just sampling. That's when I got really into older music, because I would realize, I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, the song my mom was listening to is this song that Jay-Z sampled, like, and I, like, didn't understand it. And then I figured that out, and I would try to, like, remake the beats. And honestly, I love, like, don't you wish you could go back to when you were a kid and you just didn't know anything? And your music was so free. You weren't thinking, like, oh, is this the pre-course? Is this the post-course? Oh, the song's got to be, like, song's not going to be a hit unless it's, like, this and this. Mm-hmm. But when you're a kid, you don't think about any of that stuff, and you just make music, and your shit's a mess. It sounds terrible, but don't you ever listen back to your old stuff? And there's such genius in, like, this, like, a little part of it.
There's genuine energy, a genuine spark of something unique, right?
You just didn't know.
Well, you know what? Listen, it's me you're talking to, boss. I have never had to worry about hits. It's you that has the hits.
No, but it's when you think, like, when you don't think, and it's that feeling you get now, you know, when you're just sitting, especially in quarantine, like, I'll just be sitting alone, and then you get that spark, and it's that, you get that feeling, you can't even describe it to any other human being in the world. It's like, and everyone gets a different version of it, but you get, like, I get this feeling in your chest or your stomach when you know you're doing it. You know it's all coming together. Like, and there's no drug better than it. There's no amount of drinks better than it. There's no feeling. It's the best feeling in the world. Like, it could cure any illness. Like, if every person in the world could get that feeling we get when you're on the verge of making something, there's no better feeling in the world. No sex better, no nothing. there just isn't. There's nothing better than having that feeling when it's all starting to click. No matter what, you know, when music's just so good, it makes you smile and you can't stop. Mm-hmm. You know, absolutely. You just can't stop. And it's like, it makes you laugh. It makes me laugh. When I know something's really good, I just start laughing. Well, I'll be alone.
See him.
Yeah, I'll be alone. My girlfriend will be like, what are you doing? I'll have my headphones on and I'll just start laughing.
It's hard not to sometimes, and something's just so good. Yeah,
it's magic, man. Music's fucking magic. If I told you, hey, how'd you write this exact point, like this exact song, and this, you remember some of it, but some of it you just black out and it just happens.
Do you know what? Being that I'm, being that it's the last day, I would probably have a big steak. Can I change it? No, I don't want steak anymore.
Yeah, change it. Change it.
Yeah. No, I don't want steak anymore.
What do you want?
Well, I was just thinking about, I do like that feeling, you know, when you get a good steak and it's like, it sort of melts, and then the wine with it, I like that. But actually, it does get a bit boring after a minute. So
you'd rather just have the wine. Maybe you'll just have wine.
I just have the wine. I'll just have wine for the main course. A liquid main course.
I'm trying to.
No, I would have lobster. I would have lobster with garlic butter. Do you know what? Probably just and crabs, loads of seafood. That sort of.
Yeah, kind of. Seafood's the one.
Yeah, but all you know. Oysters. Wait. Some oysters there. Yeah, like a seafood platter.
It's really lots hard. Lots of garlic
butter. I'm going to listen to that album by Francis and the Lights. The first one, the Starlight. Is it called Starlight?
Yeah. Farewell Starlight.
Farewell Starlight.
Okay, so that's what you're...
I fucking love that record.
Oh my God.
Absolutely love that record.
He's a genius, man. It's so funny. I always, you know, for me, it's like people say, like, "Oh, how do you decide who you work with? How do you do?" And I tell them, it's all just the music, you know. It's like I'll work with friends. If friends didn't even have a record deal, we did that independently. And then at the same time, you know, the next week I'm working with The Weeknd, and it's like it's all about the music. And then, you know, I love when all the people. When I'm working on all the stuff together, they all kind of just bleed into each other. And then Francis was working with The Weeknd, and then, you know, Ed works with The Weeknd, and I work with Ed. And it's just like, it's so cool. Like when worlds can collide in music, mm-hmm.
We kind of write at such different paces in such different ways. I mean, that's what I've always loved about you. You seem to be this ball of just constant energy. That's, you know, you were always, there was always something happening. There was always new artists coming by. There was always a new kind of tributary going out from your studio. You know, it just seemed like to be constantly moved. Francis was in with you for a while, making records, and just all this wild, dope shit is happening all around you. My writing process is usually just kind of me really on my own going, I have no one to high five. It's like, well done, boy.
I wasn't collaborative. Like at the beginning, I wrote everything myself, you know, wrote all the songs, made all the music, mixed it all myself. And then like once I started working with people, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. And I had never collaborated. And I'm sure you're the same way. Like at the beginning, did you ever collaborate? You did it all yourself, right?
Not until Ed. Not until I was 38. I hadn't written a song.
Wait, really?
Yeah, no, I hadn't. No.
You did.
I wrote two songs with one girl and one song with another guy like 10 years before that. But like as a thing, they were just friends that I did it with, sort of thing. But no, I never was.
You never wrote it. Writer. Ed was the first one.
Mm-hmm. First one that ever came out. Yeah.
How'd you meet Ed?
He would have come to my show. I think he saw me at a show. I can't remember what show he saw me at. It was Y Festival. I was there down there, and Nislopi were there, and I think he was working with Nislopi. Do you remember Nislopi? Great band. Anyway, they were there, and then he came to a load of my gigs, basically. Long story short, he came to a load of my gigs, and then so when he then got the deal in that and was reaching out to people, the co-writer reached out to me about co-writing, and actually I didn't say no. I just got back to him and said, you don't need me to co-write, is what I said. This sounds complete as it is, and it's, you know, I don't know what I would. I actually suggested a couple of writers, you know, said, why don't you try these folks?
But yeah.
And it wasn't me going, this is shit. I was very clear about that, going, this is great. You know, I just don't know what to do with it. I'm not your Huckleberry. And then that sort of went away for a while, and then I can't remember. Did I go to? I went and met him in Belfast, and then we talked, and he invited me on a tour, and I was like, you know, 38-year-old fucking man with a kid running around singing songs about heartache and whatnot.
Yeah.
And going on a pop tour, I was like, fuck it, why not? I'll never do this again. I'll never get an opportunity to go on like this, you know, this kind of tour again. It'll be the best of crack. But I really was. Yeah, I wasn't prepared for quite what it was to me. He was a revelation. You know, it was really, I learned a lot on that tour, and, you know, a lot more than I expected to. And loved the collaborative process. Loved trying to inhabit somebody else's vernacular for a minute. You know, getting out of my own head, my own shit, trying to think, okay, I would say it like this, but shit, this is how you're naturally going at it. So trying to kind of go with them on that journey, you know what I mean? Like trying to help them articulate it the way they're seeing it, as well as the way you're seeing it. Quite enjoyed that.
Yeah. I remember the first time he ever played me your music. I was in New York, and he said, this guy, I think you didn't have a deal at the time, or you had like some small deal. Like it was like he played it for me the same day he played me Thinking Out Loud. And he said, I don't know if I'm going to put this on my album. He said, he was like, yeah, I have a video of us the day he played it, or when he was playing me his thing. And he was like, he played that. And I was like, you got to put that on your album. And then he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to. And then he was like, dude, you got to hear this guy. He's like, he's so much better than me. He was like, I've been a fan of this guy's forever. And he played me this thing. It was so mind blowing. And I remember we listened to it like four times in a row. It was like this, it was a really sad album. It was like a sad song. I got to find it. I'll find out what it is and I'll text you. And he was like,
sad songs.
And and we were like, fuck. And he was like, we got to make music like this. That's what he was saying.
I bet he's glad he didn't. Better off making the music you were making.
He loves you, man.
Love him. He's an incredible guy, isn't he? He's something special.
I remember when Ed had that chef. What's that lady's name? She was so nice. The girl who was at his house.
The Scottish girl, Sarah.
Yeah, Sarah.
Yeah.
She was so good. She taught me. She taught me. I'd never made bread. I made bread with her for the first time. She taught me how to do it. Wow. She was so cool. And like anytime I can learn anything from anyone, you know, and it just is like, food is just the most relaxing thing to me. It's like making a song. It's like you just do that. It just takes all your stresses away.
Yes.
And then just to make it for yourself. I love it. I love cooking. I love cooking over fire. I love just doing, I don't know. It's just something, it's fucking fun, man.
Well, you know what? It's also essential, you know?
I know.
It's one of those.
I've cooked every meal since I've been in quarantine. Every meal. Love for that. Months. Every meal. No takeout, no nothing.
Fair play to you. I can't say the same. I can't say the same. But we just had a baby. We had a baby a month ago, so...
Oh, my God. Congrats.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, so we've been... We've allowed ourselves the odd night of fish and chips, you know?
Yeah, you can do that. We've been making fish and chips out here because you can't get good fish and chips. So we just make... We make it out here.
And I bet they're good.
Oh, my God. We make it good. It's so funny. They just can't get it right here.
Fish and chips, there's bound to be somewhere, like, there's bound to be they don't somebody do the somewhere, right?
They don't do the chips the right way either.
Yeah, they don't cut them thick enough.
Yeah,
They try to go for, it's either just like slightly thick fries, like, you know.
Yeah, they're like these weird.
Or like fucking wedge, you know, like.
Yeah, it's like too, and then like they're too dark. You can't make chips too dark. Like, they gotta be like just the perfect amount, and then like a fucking pillow in the middle.
Do you know what, man? I've been so excited to talk to you. Well, just to see you, for one. But two, because to tell you that I've been watching the show. The Matt and Benny Eat Out America. Dude, it's lethal. You know what? When I remember when I first met you. I think we met on email or whatever. But the first time we met in person, I think, was when we did that Malibu right with Ed.
Yeah.
And I always remember Murray and I... just sitting watching you, you know, walking around, I was thinking, that guy's a fucking movie right there. Just put the camera on him all day. Sitting around there. He's either making beats or sitting and talking to Alex, was it the chef? What are you making in there? What is that? Can I try that? How do you make that?
I know, man.
Wait, was the show happening already?
I think I remember the first time. I think I met you. Tell me if this night happened or if it didn't. I think I met you in New York with Ed, Jay-Z, and like Beyonce. We were like in a garage or something, like singing. Where was
the Hound's Tooth, it was called. Snow Trolls Bar.
Yep. Yep. I think that was before. Wasn't that before the writing camp?
Yeah, that was actually, yeah.
I think we got really drunk. I was already drunk at the beginning of the night, but I think we got really, really drunk.
Yeah, I think we all did. Yeah, I was.
And we were in like a garage. Yeah, we were in a garage, like singing, like below a bar.
That's right. Yeah.
Wild.
That's right. Yeah, we were out the back. We were out the back of that. They might have to cut out what bar it was then, because that's probably illegal, isn't it? Well, definitely was illegal. I remember us getting told off for it before you guys arrived.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. When Jay-Z and Beyonce rocked up, it was like, yeah, smoke wherever the fuck you do whatever you like.
Yeah, I know, right? Whatever you say.
Yeah. For my dessert, I'm going to have a coconut. I know this is just stupid to have a really spicy curry that is sweet because it just goes against the grain. But I want a coconut pho with pilau rice. And a big Peshwari naan just to make it even more sweet.
Oh, my God. What's... Okay, and
my mouth's watering.
My dessert, maybe red velvet cake, maybe. Oh. I like red velvet cake. I love creme brulee, too. Shit, what up?
Yeah, red velvet cake, sensational.
Red velvet cake. Because I'm not usually a dessert guy. I like sour things, like the sour straws, like the Sour Patch Kids. But, like, red... Something with like red velvet cake or like banana pudding or something. Like, I love soul food, so like anything in like the anything in that world, like the red velvet cake, the coconut cake, the pecan pies, chess pie. I love all that shit.
Man, you like pie?
I don't like pie normally, but I like it if it's like a chess pie or like a pecan pie. So like I don't
love, you mean like with that.
With that butter stuff under on it. Yeah. The softening, it's like they have it in like when you go to Nashville and stuff. Like, you ever been to Arnold's in Nashville?
Yeah, of course.
So it's like that type of shit. Like, they make it at all like the meat and threes, and it's like a sugar pie, basically. It's like a pecan pie without the pecans on it. I love that. I love pecan pie, but I'm not like an apple pie guy. Like, I don't like that shit. I like peach cobbler, but that's about it.
Yeah. Ultralight Beam.
Oh, that's just so good. So good.
That's a leveler, that song. That's one of those songs that when I first heard it, you know, I just had to play it over and over and over and over and over and over. And even when I could tell the composite parts and what's going on in it, the spirit of the thing is still just... yeah, that's an incredible piece of music, that.
Okay, I'm going out to... Okay, what am I going out to right now? Right now, I think I'm going out... Man, I might go out to Bill Withers right now today. Mm. Maybe today, either like Grandma's Hands or like maybe, honestly, maybe right now, just because it's a beautiful day, I might go out to Lovely Day.
That's the way to go, Benny.
Yeah, I think that's for today. I'm probably going to throw that on right when we get out.
I love that. You know what? I might go and do that myself.
I know, right? Just to kick up the day a little bit.
Yeah. Mate, thank you very much for taking the time.
Dude, thank you so much. Whenever you want. And then one day in 30 years, we'll be able to travel again and everything will be good, right? And I'll be over there.
Yeah.